Welcome to Running, the Municipal Election Candidate Forum hosted by Michael Carey and joined by Len Anderson. Tonight we'll meet the candidates for the Anchorage School Board. Tomorrow night at 7, Running will introduce the candidates for Anchorage Assembly and review the area-wide ballot propositions. Now here's Michael Carey.
Thank you very much for joining us. Len Anderson is here with me, and we have the candidates for School Board Seat A we're going to start with. Each candidate will have an opening statement of 1 minute, then Len Anderson and I will ask some questions for about 10 minutes, and then we'll go on to the next candidates, and finally we will have closing statements right at the end. Each candidate will have 1 minute. Our first candidate for Seat A is James LaBelle. Mr. LaBelle, welcome.
Good evening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the opportunity. My name is James LaBelle. I'm running for Anchorage School Board, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. I'm running for school board because I value education and feel we must do more. While dropout rates have dropped in the last few years, 3 out of 10 ninth graders won't receive their diploma in 4 years. For multi-ethnic students, 1 out of every 2 students today will not graduate, and that is unacceptable. I have a background working with children and families in need. I also was one of those many students years ago who gave up on education because I didn't feel that welcomed and didn't have the motivation for staying in school. The school district is changing, but not fast enough. There's not enough emphasis on alternatives to keep at-risk students in school. We don't have adequate vocational technical education options for students in middle and high schools. We need to do a better job of engaging parents to make sure they are a part of their children's education. I have an 18-year-old who just went into Alaska Military Youth Academy today and 2 other children in Anchorage school system. And I want my children and all children to graduate from high school prepared for college or job ready. We can and must do better. And again, my name is James LaBelle, running for school board. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. LaBelle. Our first question from Len Anderson.
Mr. LaBelle, the No Child Left Behind Act has had a profound impact on the education system. As far as Anchorage is concerned, how do you regard that? Has it been a positive? Has it been a negative? A mixture?
There are a few things that I like about No Child Left Behind. There are many things that I do not like. First of all, No Child Left Behind does not teach a reality-based education. It teaches a standardized test, and then teachers focus on the test, and that is not teaching a reality-based education. What I do like about No Child Left Behind is that it mandates that we track students' achievement scores, whether schools are making adequate yearly progress or not, and provides very useful data, and we need to make data-driven decisions. But No Child Left Behind is not working because it teaches to the test, and it takes away the creativeness and flexibility that the teachers must have.
Thank you. Mr. LaBelle, do you think state funding of education is adequate or inadequate? If inadequate, tell us what you would do.
I feel it's inadequate. State funding is inadequate. It is in the state constitution, they are mandated to provide education for the state. And how I see it is that property taxes here, people are very concerned about their property taxes. And right now, 50% of our budget is comprised of state funding. 30% of our funding comes from property taxes. The other 20% come from federal funds and grants and those other special programs. Going back to the Constitution, the state, I believe, needs to provide more of a funding and forward funding. And as we saw in the local paper and news coming out of Juneau, they are providing more forward funding. One of the issues is that we have not taxed all the way up to the cap. If we actually get closer to the cap, the state would provide more funding. I'm not sure if I agree with that or not, but I know that we could be getting more funds from the state, and I would support more state funding.
Len Anderson.
Mr. LaBelle, trade and business education and construction education has received increasing emphasis over the last 5 years within the district. These classes attract a lot of students, but they cost more money than traditional classes. Do you think this should continue to be expanded? And if we do it, how do we pay for it?
That's a great question. First of all, it should be expanded. 85% of the jobs in Alaska do not require a college degree or education, but they do require some type of formal vocational or technical training. We live in a very hands-on state. There are a lot of trades and vocational programs out there that are largely underutilized. We need to provide more access to these for young people, build them into the middle schools and high schools, give them more career exploration opportunities, and get these young people on track to those careers. A lot of them very much some of them pay more and better than some of our college degree students have. So, yes, I absolutely support it. How do we pay for it? Again, going back to the state mandate, I believe it's the state's mandate to provide more funding for vocational and technical. We have to really match our education system with the realities of what today's economy is. We're not preparing our young people for jobs today, and we're certainly not preparing our young people for the jobs of tomorrow. If we want to talk about economic development, the gas line, and other opportunities, large infrastructure opportunities coming our way in the future, our young people are not ready for that, and we need to prepare them more, and the state needs to provide more of that funding. I also believe, in terms of the tax issue, that there should be some property tax relief from the state of Alaska, because our community is tired of they pay a lot for their education, and they should get the outcomes that they deserve for the amount of money that they're providing.
Thank you. How would you rate the district's special education programs, and what areas would you increase or decrease given the federal mandates?
The special education programs, they have provided a valuable service to a very specific population of students. We have a very diverse group of students, over 50% from multi-ethnic families, lots of families coming from English as second language families. We have special needs children who require more level of attention and making sure that the student-to-teacher ratio is smaller. And like you said, a lot of the special ed programs, Title I funding, those are federal mandates that come with the money. And I don't believe that we can cut in those areas because they are federal mandates. But we need to definitely provide for those vulnerable populations.
Mr. LaBelle, this spring, the school board has declared a bond holiday. There are no bond propositions on the April 6th ballot from the school district. Do you think it should continue, or how do you think the school board should handle its future bond requests? They've enjoyed mixed results.
Right. I agree with the school board's decision to take a bond holiday in today's economic times. With the uncertainty, it makes sense to take a step back. People, again, the community really, I think, needed a break. And I think the school board has followed the community's wishes to take a break. Now, however, that does mean we still have some ongoing concerns that still need to be addressed. We still have aging schools, a large aging infrastructure, a lot of them built in the 70s during the pipeline days, that they were designed and built by outside firms that did not know about Alaska's climate and building standards, and building standards have changed. So again, that does become very expensive, but again, we do have that need, and we will have to continue to renovate and maintain our existing facilities. Otherwise, the cost to improve them later will just keep growing.
Thank you. What would you describe as the school district's biggest success and its biggest failure?
The, the biggest success and biggest failures. The biggest success I see is that given our very diverse population, that it makes it very challenging and difficult to deliver education to people from multi-ethnic backgrounds, coming from different cultures, English as second languages, rural students, immigrants. Our student population is 50% multi-ethnic, and so that becomes a very big challenge. I believe that's a success of our Anchorage School District as well as our ongoing challenge. I would not call it a failure. One of the things I'd like to see is an improvement of how we engage parents. Given our diversity, we all know it's the number one factor of whether students succeed is the two reasons are the teacher and the parents. If we have good teachers, that's going to help our students succeed. If we engage the parents, that's going to help them even more. But given that very diverse population, how do we truly engage parents? And I'd love to see us really improve upon that and move towards 21st century learning, which engages the families, it expands the school year, it brings tutors and programs and volunteers into our schools at night. So that way, it doesn't increase our costs, but it does increase parent and community involvement. And expanding the school year, 35% of Anchorage high school teenagers already attend summer school. So we know that there's a need, and that's actually helping to keep them in school engaged and achieving. So again, not a failure, but an area I would like to improve on is parent engagement.
Thank you. Len, we have time for 1 minute for one more question and answer, I might add.
Okay. It's a good chance that an excellent chance that the school district is going to face some cutting decisions. Where should they look?
We took on a lot of money from the federal stimulus dollars. And what a lot of those monies provided for was to try out new programs and projects, see how they work. And the school district has, in times past, experimented with different projects and pilots. What we have to do now is have really good data-driven decisions of what works. We need an evaluation system to look at all these programs at work and say, we need to either cut here because it's not working, it's not effective, but to continue down the road, down those areas that we do know that works.
Thank you very much. Remember, we'll be coming back to you for a closing statement. But right now, let's meet a candidate, David Neese.
Yeah, hi. My name's David Neese. I currently work at Hanshu Middle School in the Anchorage School District. I've been teaching in middle school, which used to be called junior high, for roughly 27 years. So I'm getting into my second generation of children that are coming from students I had before. So probably a good idea to start looking at something else to do. The school board has, in the 20-some-odd years I've been in there, taken on a lot of different roles, but the number one role that they really have, and if you look at the school board, is to guide the administration in where we want the money spent, where we want to head with our program. The superintendent is then to follow the direction of the school board and go ahead and act these out. And I think one of the things you have is it's really easy to sit on the outside and go like, well, you can cut here, you can cut there. It's a little easier on the inside. If you look at our current budget, we're paying $2,700 a day to have the school district's law firm on call. This means that if they call them up and they answer the phone, then we actually have to start paying them more money. So just the retainer fee is $800,000. If you hired a school board lawyer, like most of the school boards have and the school districts have in the state, you'd save about $650,000. A lawyer for a school board, $150,000. I was on a budget committee a couple years ago, and that was my suggestion, is like, you can save quite a bit of money by doing this, and the response I was, well, we like our firm. Well, the board needs to say, well, I like my Cadillac, you got to drive a Chevrolet.
I think we better move to the questioning here, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Okay, Len.
maybe to mention a middle school background, but how would you rate district discipline policies, bullying policy, anti-aggression education programs, suspension, expulsion
The district does a very good job with its with taking care of the children that have trouble in schools. I mean, you have, I'm in adolescent land with middle school, so you always have a lot of hormones going on, kids picking fights and stuff. It's you take children out of an elementary school where they've got a small community and you put them in a middle school where they're surrounded by 600-700 other kids and teachers that don't really know them well and haven't seen them since they were five. And they have to go through various tests of who they are, where they fit in, who they're going to be. So the district tries to balance all of that. When they move into high school, they generally will get a more serious consequence. There are some, you know, criminal activities that get you serious consequences right away. But the district has basically adopted a policy of we're going to try to get the behavior we want out of the children. And it's a graduated system. You start off with minor infraction, work your way up. It seems to be fairly effective at keeping the kids. Most good citizens know what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. And we're trying to teach them to be good citizens so that when they move out into the community, they can act appropriately.
I might ask, what do you think is the biggest success of the Anchorage School District and its biggest failure in your judgment?
The biggest success of the Anchorage School District is every year when I go to the Sullivan Arena and I see hundreds of kids walking out with graduation caps, that's a success by the school district, that's a success by their parents, that's a success by the kids. Biggest failure is not everybody's there. That's the number one thing. We lose too many kids between walking in ninth grade, walking out with a cap on your head in 12th grade.
Lynn? The school board was wrestling quite a bit with how they should deal with summer school, how much they should cut, what should they retain, what should be the, what were the most important elements of it? Should summer school be continued? If so, in what form? How much funding should go into it?
Summer school has always been an issue. You have to look at it. It's got two components. One of them is to take care of your kids that are not going to graduate or not going to, they're the number one priority. Seniors that are not going to graduate are the ones that they take care of most in summer school. So your high school component has to be there. I have junior high kids that will take advancing classes so that they'll already enter high school with a half a credit. You have kids that like it as an enrichment program. They're not working yet. They don't have anything else to do. They want something to do besides sit on the internet or sit on the TV. And I think that's important. Anytime you can keep kids busy and in a school room or something like that, then you're keeping them out of what they could be up to. So I think it's a good investment for the dollar. Doesn't matter how much you're spending on the summer school, you're going to get the payback. It's either going to be with a kid getting an extra credit so they can graduate, kid exploring a topic that they're interested in. There's plenty of money in the Anchorage School District to fund summer school.
What has been the impact of the No Child Left Behind Act on the Anchorage School District?
Well, the number one impact on it is it's changed our calendar. The Christmas and spring break were both moved to take care of testing. So school starts much earlier in August than it used to. It ends earlier in May than it used to. It sort of drives everything. If you look at No Child Left Behind, it says that in several years, every child will be passing high school, every child will be performing at an adequate level. And that's good hope. It's a good goal. It's not reality. If you have one third of the kids go on to college out of the Anchorage School District have for 50 years. Two thirds of the kids go into the workplace, and you have some kids that don't make it through high school. So No Child Left Behind comes with a lot of strings on it. You have a lot of federal laws that you have to match, a lot of strings that come with it. It's not a very good program. It's the easiest way to say it.
Thank you. Lynn Anderson.
Often pointed out that the school district's current enrollment is below its highest total of over 50,000, which I think was 2003, something like that. But the budget has gone up. At the same time, the demographics of 2003 have changed. We have many more minority students, English as second language, more special education. To what degree do you think these things, and like you said, the federally mandated performance standards, have justified that larger budget from before? Or is this sometimes an excuse offered by the school district?
I think our budget's done a real good job of keeping up with the cost of living. And if you go look at it, it's pretty much the same budget dollar for dollar if you correct it for the 1980s and 1990s. It isn't going into the classroom. That's the number one thing. It's going elsewhere. And when you look at the Anchorage School District budget really carefully, you see a lot of things that you go like, huh, that wasn't there when we started. I know when I look around as a teacher that's been in it for 25-plus years, I started, I had two junior high principals, a principal and assistant principal. I had a senior high principal and assistant principal. Elementary schools had one principal. We have 5-plus in most high schools. We have 3 in middle schools, and some elementary schools have 2 principals. That's all cost. I mean, you have to pay a salary. You have to pay medical insurance. You have to pay TERS and PERS on that. If you just said, okay, we just want to have 1 and 2, probably looking in the neighborhood of $1.5 million, $2 million, well, you can spend that elsewhere. So I think it's prioritizing and taking a look at where you're actually spending your money.
Thank you. How do you regard alternative schools like Avail, Save, Search, and so forth?
I think they're some of the best schools out there. Not everybody fits into a regular school model. Some people, my analogy would be, some people are bankers, some people are fishermen. And if you take somebody that's going to be a fisherman, you put them in the bank, they're real uncomfortable. Some kids don't do well in standard school. Our charter schools have been a wonderful option for a lot of things. The vocational schools have helped. Some of the kids in regular school just need a smaller school model, and they go off to Search or Save. And I've seen a lot of success with the smaller programs. I think most of your kids are going to fit into the Anchorage School District regular model, but we've got a wonderful district because we've got so many different places for them to go.
Do you think the state funding is adequate, inadequate, and if the latter, what can we do about it?
Yeah, I'm slightly, I really feel that the state provides plenty of money. The Anchorage School District's spending almost $1 billion a year. I mean, they're at 0.8 billion. That's, you might as well say a billion. They have the same amount of children they had 5 years ago. So it's where you're putting the money. I've talked to my state legislatures. I say, can't you put a string on the money that says X amount has to go into the classroom? And they say, no, that's not the way it's written in state law. So if you hand somebody a blank check and you tell them they can spend it anywhere they want, they're going to spend it on what they want rather than a need. And I think in the ASD, we don't really ask our customer what they want. The customer is the parents and the kids. We don't ask them, what is it you want 12 years from now when your kid gets out of high school? What do you want them to be able to do? Do you want them, you think everybody's off to college, or do you want to have an opportunity for them to learn a trade? We don't ask that question. We say, here's what we're going to give you, and we need a little more money next year.
Earlier you referred to the high school graduation ceremony and the wonder of all those young people going across the stage and your disappointment that not everyone is on that stage, that there are too many people who don't make it. What is your fundamental explanation of why that happens?
I think, and I had recently had a conversation with a couple of legislature. They have the equation about half right. A high school exit exam is wonderful to be able to show the public, okay, this kid can do this. But we don't have a high school entrance exam. So I've been in middle school for 20-plus years, and first year I was in it, kids told me, well, it doesn't really count here anyways. You don't have to earn any credits. You don't have to keep grades. You're going to go to ninth grade either in 2 years or 3, depending on how bad you act up in middle school. But there's no accountability to the kids. You don't have to complete 2 years of math or 7 quarters of math to go on to high school. So the kids know they're not doing well. And if you tell them that you have to meet this standard to get into high school, you got a little more of a lever to work with. If you tell them that, okay, almost everybody goes in 2 years, they learn poor study habits and traits that make it difficult that freshman year in high school.
We're out of time for you, Mr. Neese. Now we're going on to Tommy O'Malley. We'll be back for a closing statement. Mr. O'Malley.
My name is Tommy O'Malley, and I'm running for seat A. I think what makes me a good candidate, or the best candidate, is because I've been in schools for 20 years. I taught kindergarten mostly. And during that time, I didn't just stay in the classroom, but went out and met people in all the different areas of the school administration and the workforce, lunch ladies, the school bus drivers. And I feel like that gave me a good feeling about how the schools work, what the parents want, what the kids need.
Thank you, Lynn.
The board decided to use a portion of its stimulus money in experiments. And one experiment that they were extremely interested in was preschool. They expanded the preschool program, and they also had a middle school program that appears to be quite successful. Now, in order to keep the preschool, or would you recommend keeping the preschool programs? But if so, that's going to probably result in having to get rid of something else. That was the idea of these experiments. Would you keep it? What would you cut?
I am really for preschool education, and there's been a state initiative to have preschools throughout the state of Alaska. What they found in Head Start is that kids who attend preschools tend to go on to graduate from high school. Also, a lot of the problems that we're seeing in schools is that the schools are taught in English and the tests are in English, but a lot of the kids don't learn English in schools. If you start out with a preschool that focuses on language acquisition, then when the children reach kindergarten age, they have a literal head start in in being able to access what's going on in the schools. So one of my first things that I'm going to do is start talking to legislators and try and get them to expand on the idea of bringing preschool into the Anchorage School District. And I think Anchorage School District should be a leader in this in the state. And it's a complicated thing. Where are you going to put the kids? Could you use preschools that are already working, like let's say the university preschool or the Providence Hospital preschool, and then adopt a curriculum from the state or the Anchorage School District? But there's no question in my mind that children who attend preschool will do better in school, no doubt.
What would you cut if you had to? If the state's been known to move slowly in educational matters.
Well, and I think that's prudent that the state moves slowly. And I don't expect things to happen. I think it was a windfall to have stimulus money come in and all of a sudden they just invented a program. I think the pilot program or the experiment with this could be good evidence towards expanding it or extending it. But I believe that the money for a preschool would have to come from the state.
How would you, Mr. O'Malley, how would you rate the performance of the current school board?
This current school board, I've been to a lot of meetings, and they're really nice people, and they act in consensus a lot of the times. But if you go and you look at what comes up at the meetings, you'll see that there's very little time spent on students, on teachers, on education. And I understand that school boards have to deal with money issues and other things and contracts to buy frozen tater tots. But I really think that the school board, maybe a failing of them is that they are not really concentrating on what's important. The mission, their mission is to improve education or to provide education for kids. And I think that needs to be discussed more at the meetings.
Lynn?
Is the year-round school concept dead? Should it be pursued?
I've taught in a year-round school. In my year in Australia, I did an international teaching fellowship there, and the school went 50 days and then 2 weeks off and 50 days and 2 weeks off. Still in the summer, which is at Christmas time, they would get 6 weeks off, not the 3 months that we have. But I think that worked pretty well. It made a good use of the buildings. Their school year was a lot longer than ours. It was 200 days of the children actually being in there rather than the 180 days that we have here. No, I think that worked okay. In the villages where the children go to fish camps and there's more of a subsistence style, there would have to be an option for changing that. But in Anchorage, it might really work. You could try it as a pilot program and see if some of the schools, if it would work in some neighborhoods. If a parent decided that they'd like to try that, I think that would be a good thing to try. Sure.
Thank you. How would you rate the school district's discipline policies?
Well, discipline comes from it isn't about punishment. If you think about Jesus and his disciples, the idea of discipline is to follow. And you have to provide a model to follow. And that requires a really good idea of where you're going. Maybe what we're talking about is problems that kids run into, teenagers and cliques, bullying program, bullying that goes on. And I might say bullying is not isolated to Anchorage. It's happened the world over forever. If you meet those kinds of things head on, if you let the expectations be well understood, if you give children a path to follow, I think that's a lot better than if you teach them how to behave. For example, if you teach them about citizenship, if you teach them cooperation, it's a lot easier than the catch up of punishing miscreants.
Mr. Manley, the school board has instructed especially over the last 4 years or so, the administration to carefully track student performance, collect data, see the effectiveness of particular programs. This demands support personnel and computer programs. Are we getting our money's worth out of this outside the classroom, in the classroom? Have we overdone it or not enough?
I think you might be alluding to the No Child Left Behind data gathering. And
even beyond that.
Yeah, well, I understand that. No, I don't think that... It's my really strong feeling that it's a privilege to be able to pay for education. I just sent my son through a liberal arts education in college, and it costs a lot of money, but he sounds educated. You talk to him and you can tell that there's a change that's taken place, and I'm proud of what I was able to do, and I think that Alaska taxpayers and the state legislators who provide the foundation formula should be proud of the contribution they're making for our kids' education. Is it being spent well? I don't think so. When we have the only 65% graduate and only a third go on to college, in Alaska we all spend more for things because we depend on things more. You know, our cars need to get us there. Our boots need to keep us warm. I don't think Alaskans mind spending money, but they have to know that it's being well spent. And the indexes are not there now.
Trade and business education have been receiving increasing emphasis. Do they need to be expanded at the present time?
Certainly. As James said, most of the two-thirds of the kids who do graduate don't go to college. And in Alaska, if something needs to be done, it's a new road or a new building that's built. We don't move into old things just because of we're on the frontier up here. I think that expanding into vocational education is really the way to go. We have the shining example of the King Career Center, but there are only 800 kids who go there. And that's not just in the trades, it's in broadcasting. It might be a good idea to come back here after I'm on the school board and say, you guys got to take on some interns here. You know, get more kids into the broadcasting area. Or ask the trade unions to maybe in concert with some of the vocational programs to maybe build a Habitat for Humanity house so that the kids could see the trades in action and the tradespeople could pick out some talented kids.
Concerning that spring bond holiday of the school district, should it continue for another year? Should the school district change its bond proposals? Traditionally, they've had the heaviest bond proposals on the ballot.
Well, there's a reason for going for bonds, and that's the part of it is because you build new schools and you do new projects that are very expensive, and the state reimburses for a lot of that. I think the reason that they didn't put bonds out there is because right now people don't trust the school district to spend their money well. Some of the bond money was spent on maintenance, and you and I, for maintenance on our houses, we plan for that. I put money away to paint my house every 3 or 4 years. I know that's coming up. So I think people are bugged by the school district spending bond money on maintenance items. It's expensive money, even at the reimbursement rate. I think that was a response to people saying enough.
Thank you, Tommy O'Malley. We'll come back to you for a closing statement. Now let's welcome the final candidate in seat A, race for seat A, and that is Don Smith. Welcome, Don.
Thank you, please. Thank you very much. I'm Don Smith, running for seat A. Born and raised in Anchorage. My background, I attended Anchorage schools from kindergarten on through high school, graduating in 1957. Went up to Fairbanks, University of Alaska. I have a degree in business administration and political science. I've served in a number of elective offices over the years. I was in the legislature. I served on the municipal assembly for 10 and a half years, and now I'm seeking a seat on the school board. I call myself the father of the Anchorage tax cap back 28 years ago. Wrote the language and got an amendment placed in the charter, which has saved Anchorage taxpayers an awful lot of money over that time frame. I figure 5 mils is your average. That's probably about, $25,000-$30,000 over that time frame. I believe that I bring a fiscally conservative background to this job and would very much like to have a chance to look at some of the in-depth aspects of the school district.
Thank you. Len?
Mr. Smith, how would you regard the impact of the No Child Left Behind Act on Anchorage? Negative, positive, mixture thereof?
Well, in general, I support the concept of No Child Left Behind. I think there needs to be benchmarks, there needs to be testing, there needs to be an effort to monitor the progress of children as they're moving through the school system. The idea that would be abolished or thrown out, I think would be a major mistake. I don't have any problem with modification, but I think there needs to be some kind of testing benchmarks that students know they're going to have to achieve in order to graduate.
Do you think state funding of education is adequate or inadequate?
I think it's adequate. We haven't talked, or none of the panelists at this point has really talked about the school district budget in dollar terms. It's $830 million this year. We have $1.9 billion of debt. And I guarantee if it hadn't been for the tax cap, that debt would be a lot higher and the budget would be a lot higher today. And I totally disagree with this concept that we have to tax to the cap. I think that a board needs to sit down and analyze the budget, look at what priorities they want to set, and keep it within a reasonable limit. And the tax cap is not onerous. A lot of people seem to think it's very limiting, but it allows you to take this year's budget, you can grow it by an amount of population growth and inflation, and I believe that's adequate.
Within the $400 million plus, let's just call it the general operating budget, which is a lot of personnel costs and that sort of thing, and that's independent of the bonds and everything else that's the part of the total budget. It looks like there are going to have to be some reductions, cuts made in the coming year. Where would you make them?
Well, the cuts that need to be made, I believe, need to come out of what some of us politely call the head shed. One of the candidates talks about, you can see it from space, the headquarters building out on Boniface Road. We really need to take a hard look at how many psychiatrists and psychologists and assistant principals and on do we need in the district in order to provide the kind of education that is needed in Anchorage. I suspect, similar to what happened in Washington, D.C. a few years ago, where the new superintendent came in and basically laid the law down to the administrative side and said, you've got to justify your job or we're going to put you into the classroom, because that's where we need to be placing people. The classroom size has slowly crept up. We've had a reduction in students over the last 10 or 12 years, and yet the amount of money spent, staffing, for example, at the Anchorage School District has gone up 1,010 positions, and yet the number of students has gone down by 700. We're just now creeping up and raising the numbers. But up until now, it's been a declining curve.
What would you describe as the biggest success of the school district and its biggest failure?
Well, obviously, every one of those students that walks down the line at graduation is our success, and that should be what we're striving for as a community. I have a grandson that will be graduating this spring from Diamond High School. Hope to be able to give him his diploma as a member of the school board. But that's the bottom line. That's what we're shooting for. I recognize that we've got a very diverse population in Anchorage, but I also believe that there's been a tendency, because of all the mandates, that we're teaching not to the bright kids and to the maybe above-average kids, but we're focusing on all the problems. And those bright kids and those above-average kids are sitting on their hands, twiddling their thumbs for a big part of their school year, because the emphasis, mandated in some cases by the federal government, I suspect mandated by the state in some instances, we're neglecting those kids that really want to get an education, want to have an opportunity, and they're not getting a fair shake. So we've got to balance it.
How do we achieve that balance between getting English as second language, or in some case, some of the kids, there is no second language when they enter the school, special education, with the funding needed to, as you say, develop the curiosity and the intellect of the more inspired students? What do we give up?
It's difficult. How you balance that, I'm not sure. I've attended a half a dozen school board meetings over the last few years. I'm not an expert on, you know, what goes on, and it seems to me like an awful lot goes on behind closed doors, because there's such a love session when I've been there in the meetings. But I think that we've got to balance it. I don't have any problem with bilingual and kids coming from other countries that are going to have to be taught in our Anchorage school system, but I don't want them to shortchange the 50% of the kids that right now I think are being shortchanged. We need to have a balance. And it may mean that, and I can't answer this with any authority, because all I'm doing is saying I suspect, but I would be willing to bet that we're teaching above and beyond the mandates. And it may be we've got to go to the mandate. And we just say, we're here, we've got to come down to the mandate, and we're going to put the extra and make sure that our bright kids and our average kids get a shot at an education.
Are Anchorage schools safe?
I believe so. We have the program between the city police department and the school district on security. I know I'm at Diamond High an awful lot with my grandkids there, and I believe they maintain a pretty good decorum.
How do you regard the alternative schools of Vail, Safe, Search, even ACE, adult continuing education?
I think they're wonderful. I'd like to see more of them. They're cheaper. And they're way better in outputting children in the programs that they're taking. The success ratio is just amazing. And primarily, and it was alluded to earlier in the presentation, parent involvement. No child gets into a an alternative school program without making a parental commitment that they'll spend a certain percentage of their time coming and helping at the school. I have a granddaughter that is attending ABC, Northern Lights School. It's a very good school. She's getting a very good education, but her mother and father are expected to show up and participate, and they do, and it works.
Should summer school be continued, and if so, at what level?
Well, I'm not any expert on summer school. I think it's necessary. I think you've got children that have to have that help to finish getting their degree or prepare them a little bit for the coming year that they're going to get into, in high school. But I'm not enough of an expert to sit here and tell you how much is spent, and therefore I'd like to cut or I'd like to add. I think there has to be a balance, and I think we need to have some kind of a program for those children.
Thank you. Len.
There's been an increasing emphasis on the board or desire to build up in-school suspension programs as opposed to out-of-school suspension or abruptly getting into expulsion where the school safety can be maintained. But that costs extra money because you have to provide those facilities and teachers or whoever to watch over the student. Is that a good idea, or is it, again, more money going in the wrong direction?
Well, I think the best thing you could ever do to a parent that's got an unruly child at school is to send him home for a few days and let mom or dad have to take off work and babysit him or her. And I suspect that that'll have more of an effect of getting them back into the classroom than anything we can do. I'm not hurt in my mind about the idea of having a child have to go home if they break the rules. They need to know what the rules are, and they know what they can get away with and what they cannot get away with, and I think you've got to have a stern, strong policy.
Thank you. How would you rate the district's special education program, and within federal demands are the things that you would like to see increased or decreased?
Well, again, I'm sure all of us have not sat through meeting after meeting of the school board, so I can't sit here and tell you what exactly I would recommend. I have a suspicion. And that's really what it is, a suspicion that we're overachieving in the area of the special education requirements. We're going above and beyond. I can't prove that, so until I get on the board and have a chance to review it. But if we're doing that, which I kind of think we might be, I'd like to tone it back. I just feel like we're not balancing the program at school properly, and a lot of very bright and average kids that are sitting on their fingers and their hands with nothing to do for 15 minutes while problems are being solved by teachers. And so I'd like to see a shift.
We have time for one more quick question and a quick answer.
Should the district extend its bond holiday?
Yes.
That was a quick question. That was a quick answer.
You order, you receive.
Now we'll go to the closing statements. And 1 minute, and I'm going to keep you to 1 minute, please, James LaBelle.
Okay. Again, I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you tonight. I was born and raised here in Anchorage, and as I said, I struggled in Anchorage schools, but I went on to graduate. I'm a veteran, and I went on to college. Now I'm raising my three kids here, and I know what it means to struggle in Anchorage schools because of my experiences, because of my own children's experiences, and I've spent the last 17 years of my life working with youth and families around education, employment and training, getting young people into leadership programs, career exploration programs, and now recently, I work in the child welfare system on the policy level to make improvements for those children and families there. I bring a perspective of someone who will devote the time and commit the time to the hard work and understanding, knowing all the issues, making the best choice for our young people, but also someone who knows what the everyday person in Anchorage feels.
I hate to do this too, but we're out of time.
Thank you. I'm James LaBelle.
Thank you very much. Mr. Neese, please. David Neese.
Yeah. I think that I'd like to thank the viewers for tuning in. An educated population is the richest thing the state of Alaska has. Oil's good, but educated people is what makes the state run. Anything we can do in the Anchorage School District to deliver more quality children out of the end product at 12th grade is the best thing we can do. If we have to invite the vocational trades to come in and chip money in to start vocational schools in carpentry and welding. Do it. I mean, we need to be open to that. The pilot schools, the charter schools, excellent. More of that. But you have to hold the kids accountable. You have to say, you have to know this. I think you can probably sit down with most parents and say, what should a sixth grader know? And they'll tell you. The board never tells us what the sixth grader's got to know.
Thank you, Mr. Neese. Let's go to Tommy O'Malley. You have 1 minute, sir.
My name is Tommy O'Malley. I taught in the Anchorage School District for 20 years. And as a teacher and as a parent of students in this school, I feel like I know what parents and children need. Also, I think that the main part of education is between teachers and the children and the parents, and that kind of a compact is really, really important. And that's what I would bring to the school board, is that knowledge of how the schools work. I am for early childhood education because I believe that children that have a good start in school have a better language focus, and they tend to stay in school through graduation. I'm also for vocational education and job readiness for the kids who go through the Anchorage School District. I want to thank you guys for voting, and I hope you guys get out there to vote. My name is Tommy O'Malley. I really like your help. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. O'Malley. And finally, Don Smith, you have 1 minute, sir.
Thank you. I would like to urge folks, you're going to be receiving this newspaper in the mail here in a day or two, and I'd urge you to open it up and take a look at the middle section. There's a number of charts that you're going to find, I think, very interesting. We're spending $17,000 per child in the Anchorage School District this year. Class sizes are going up. The staff is increasing by a huge percentage, and yet enrollment over the last 10 years has gone down. The cost per student is rising 112% over inflation, which I think is about 24%. These are issues that the board needs to take and address and answer for the citizens of Anchorage, who are the taxpayers that are putting up a large part of the money that goes into the Anchorage School District. I guarantee you'll get a lot of hard work out of me, and a lot of questions will be asked. This business of apparently doing business in work sessions will end if I'm on the board.
We're about out of time.
Thank you very much,
Mr. Smith. Thank you, panelists. We're going to switch panels now and go to school board seat B. Stick around. We'll be right back in just a couple of minutes.